Well, greetings to you once again in Jesus' name. Thank you for your patience as we go through the scriptures. I know sometimes this can get a little heavy and a lot to cut through, but I trust that the Word of God will go forth and do the work that He has sent it out to do. I believe that with all my heart. So I want to give scripture. My words, they're going to fall to the ground. Anything that I have is very, very small compared to what God has for us in His Word. This is our daily bread, our daily inspiration. And so I pray that God would just continue to do that in your life and in mine, that He would inspire us and feed us day by day from His Word. I'm going to continue on here in some scripture so that we can kind of wrap up where we're going with all this, what we've been talking about recent. And I think that it'll all come together as we read. So let's just quiet our hearts before God and let Him speak to us through His Word. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah, first chapter. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. And God sent His prophets to Israel to warn them about their falling away and their leaving behind their first love, which was God Himself. And the people were very corrupted. They were so easily turned away from God. And I don't believe that that was just for that time. I think it's even for today. People will get sidetracked and distracted. Christians can go astray. And here is a warning from God, and I just want to read this to you. Isaiah chapter 1, first three verses first. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. God's heart is grieved here for Israel. He made a covenant with them, and they had gone astray and gone to their own ways, and they started worshiping other gods that He warned and warned and warned against it, and they did it anyways. I'm going to continue reading in Isaiah. We'll skip down a little bit to verse 11, and I'll read a few verses here. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. You hear the heart of God here. As we talked about before, God is the one that instituted these offerings and sacrifices. And we read here, by the time Isaiah comes along, God is fed up. He is very, very tired and weary of the people just going through the motions, and their heart was far from the Lord. God's not interested in just the form. He wants there to be some substance. He wants there to be a relationship to Him. I'm going to turn now to the book of Hosea, And Hosea was another prophet to God's people, and to you and I, for that matter. And Hosea had an interesting life. God had sent him to be a messenger for his people, and he was an example. Hosea had a wife that was unfaithful. She played the harlot and went and she lay with other men. And God was bringing this forward, making it public, so that Israel could see just how they were treating God. That God's people, Israel, who he made a covenant with, were being unfaithful. And they were playing the harlot. And they were turning away from God. And he was showing this through this prophet, Hosea. Hosea had a tough ministry. Very difficult. But Hosea is a picture of God's faithfulness and man's lack of faithfulness. And I'm going to read in chapter 6, a couple of verses here, maybe 7 verses, and just hear the heart of God again. And remember, God is looking for a relationship in a covenant that he made with his people. Come and let us return unto the Lord. That was Israel's problem, and it's man's problem. He turns away from the Lord. Now he's saying, he says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. There's hope in God. You know, God gives us hope, and that's a good thing. Verse 3, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and the latter as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me. Here was God pleading with his people, showing them, you have been unfaithful to me. I have given you instruction and you ignored and you rebelled. And the prophet is giving a message of God's plea. Turn back. Turn back to the Lord. I'm going to go back to the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to read back in chapter 1 again. I'm going to start in verse 18. And I'm sure you've heard these verses, but listen to the heart of God. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. You hear God's plea to his people. He's saying, you started out good, and now you have walked away, and he's calling them back. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't know the forgiveness of sin in your life, I want to invite you through God's word to come to the cleansing fountain, to let God purge away the sin. And you know, it's not just one time only. We are human beings, and we are weak in this flesh, and we sin. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and he takes our sin, and he cleanses us because he was that ultimate sacrifice for us. When God saw his son right there on the cross and his blood going out and his life left his body, he died and was buried and God raised him up. God said, Jesus said first, it is finished. What is? The complete work of salvation. The sacrifice that God had intended to be for, that all these things that we see in the Old Testament were a picture of what God was going to do for his people. An unworthy people. A people that were rebellious and stiff-necked. And he provided the ultimate sacrifice, his son. It's not just for Israel, you know. As we read through the scriptures, we see that we have been adopted in, those that will call upon the Lord, those that will allow him to purge us and to cleanse us from sin. And maybe you've experienced that. I don't know. I know I have. And when I did, I felt so unworthy and so humbled because I knew my sin. My sin was very great. But his love was greater. And I confessed my sin and asked God for repentance and to turn away from it. And does that mean I'm walking perfectly? No. There's days when I cry out to God and say, God, please forgive me. I have again transgressed against you, a holy God. But he made a way, a provision for us through Jesus Christ to become clean and to be washed every time. God is good and he is faithful. We're more like Israel that turns away and we follow not hard after God. But he draws us back with cords of love. And I want to encourage you today, let him do that work, not just today, but throughout the rest of your life, a sanctification, an offering of your heart to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You will never be sorry. Never be sorry. I will never be sorry. If I continually let my life be presented to God as a sacrifice and a willing offering to him, to let him come and cleanse and renew and restore and to be right there to make a correction in our ways and to give us sweet fellowship with him through Jesus Christ. I pray that for you and for me and for my family and for all of God's church in the whole world. And may God bless you as you consider these things.